This podcast was recorded in March 2016, just before World Social Work Day.
Welcome to our podcast, Helpful Social Work. Social work has the power to change people's lives for the better. This podcast aims to help you learn, think, and act with integrity so that people who need social work get help that will transform their lives. My name is Jo Fox, and I'm here with Jerry Nasowska. Hi, Jerry. How are you today?
Not too bad, actually. It's a Friday. It's nearly the end of the working day. We've spent quite a lot of it trying to record this podcast, so let's hope that this version works out okay.
Yes, I must admit I'm feeling a lot more relaxed now because everyone has left the office, so I know that the doorbell's not going to ping, that people won't burst in, that I don't have a line of people waiting to ask me things, and I feel like for the first time today, I can really be mindful about this, and that's no bad thing.
Yeah, so this podcast is the first part of our first podcast. This is where we take a topic from social work practice and have a look at it in a bit of depth. And if you have just tuned into this podcast, then you might want to listen to the introductory one, which explains who we are, why we're doing this, and how we're doing it. So the topic for today then is integrity. And we said that I would make a start with a bit of a definition. I had a look in the dictionary, and there's actually three parts to the definition of integrity, all of which are relevant to what we're going to talk about. In fact, we're going to cover all of them. There's integrity as ethical integrity, so your trueness to self. There's integrity as kind of soundness, and there's also integrity in terms of completeness and being whole.
And when I think about trueness to self, it makes me think a little bit about an experience I had when I was a school counsellor. One day a young girl came to see me that I hadn't seen before, and she'd come to see me because a few days before she had gone home and found her father had hung himself in their lounge room. And as this story unfolded, I realised that 2 years before, she'd come home and found that her mother had died of an overdose. So she'd already lost her mother, and she now had the experience of her father also attempting suicide. She told me this profoundly sad story, and then she asked me, "Why does nobody love me enough to stay with me?" And I found myself lost in this story, really, and the whole of me was just really experiencing her sadness. And I happened to catch a glimpse of myself in the window, and I was really, my body language was really reflecting that. I was slumped over. I was unconsciously mirroring all the distress and pain that she was feeling. I'm really pleased that I caught a glimpse of myself, because it helped me to stop doing that. There was no containment for that girl while I was there, caught in her sadness. And in social work, it's dangerous to lose yourself in someone else's story. You need to hold yourself together in order for there to be a safe place for others. Social workers witness terrible things as well as hopeful moments, and they act as containers for the feelings that arise from these events. And we have to have the strength to bear witness to someone's story without taking it from them. We have to be able to find a way to walk alongside them out of the places in which they find themselves. Work with people is always ethical work. We need to be models of integrity and act in ways that we think is right to achieve what we consider is important.
Yeah, I think thinking about integrity, And coming back to what you were saying about being true to yourself, I wanted to start off by talking about motivation, trueness to self in terms of your motivation to be a social worker and why we're doing this work. And I think our ability to thrive as social workers kind of begins with our intrinsic motivation. Of course, it's nice to get external recognition and motivation from other people, but we don't necessarily have that. So it's helpful to kind of tune into what motivates us and to think about what times are we really thriving in our work, and when are the moments that we're being really true to ourselves and we're being the person that we wanted to be. And when we do that, we can kind of try and replicate those moments and build on them. And we've talked before about the balance in social work, leading away from inspiration and towards frustration. And I think, you know, there's always going to be uncertainty. There's always going to be some things in social work that don't work out as we want. And we could keep our heads down and follow process. But I think alternatively, it's better to see uncertainty as potential and see it as an opportunity for us to be the people that we want to be and to support others to build the lives that they want, and to create stories for people and stories with people that that are optimistic and that are true to them. And you know, when we act against our values and our real motivation, then we chip away at our potential to make a difference. And we need to have enough moments, really, when what we're doing is in tune with the best person we can be, so that we can keep inspired and inspire others, and model to them the way that they can build the life that that they want and achieve their own potential.
And I think when you're talking about that kind of wholeness, Jerry, it leads into the idea of soundness, doesn't it? Social workers being able to maintain resilience and sustain themselves in challenging circumstances. Resilience is about being able to continue to thrive despite the adversity that you find yourself in, being able to continue to develop. And, you know, research shows that resilience doesn't come from never having problems. We mustn't be afraid of taking on struggles to achieve the change for people we work with. But we've got to be smart about how we do this. And I always think about how you're trained to rescue people from drowning or from people in water. If you're going to help someone who's in the water, you do not jump in with them. You stay on the bank. You look for different ways to help them. So you always throw things first. You use poles. You use all sorts of things. But you don't jump in the water and drown alongside the people. And that, for me, is about being able to use all the information and all the skills and all the support that we have to be able to be helpful to people who are in distress and not get swept along with some of the difficulties ourselves. Emotional intelligence, to me, is the strongest muscle that a social worker has. It's one of our best tools, and it's the foundation upon which to build resilience. And Goleman's work picks the idea of emotional intelligence, talks about paying attention to how we and others feel so that we can motivate ourselves, persist in the face of frustrations, control impulses, delay gratification, regulate our moods, keep distress from swamping our ability to think, empathise with others and remain hopeful. We will catch strong emotions and experience secondary trauma from witnessing people's distress. And we have to learn how to recognise this and acknowledge it and seek support. Look for containment for ourselves so we can provide containment for others. Emotional intelligence is an essential capacity in social work because our work's done through relationship. And to be able to do that relational dance, you have to be able to read both the other person and yourself. We have to be able to understand how our emotions impact upon others, how their emotions impact upon us. There's some really interesting research, once again from Goleman, that shows that cardiac patients nursed by staff with a depressed move had a mortality rate 4 times higher than expected. If we're not emotionally aware and using our emotions positively, the people we work with can think that we don't care or that we don't have hopefulness for them, and they can withdraw. And we can then feel as if we're not making a difference. And that can impact on our resilience and our sense of purpose and efficacy. We need to thrive in social work because we're relating to people directly, for one reason or another, who are not thriving, and we need to model optimism and resourcefulness to children, adults and families. They've often been the victims, and we need to show them something different.
Yeah, and I think in order to do that, picking up on the third area of integrity, which is completeness, we do need to use our whole self. We need to use our intelligence, our emotional intelligence. We need to be practical and idealistic. And to use your whole self, you need to be really self-aware and think deeply about who you are, what you're there to do and how you're doing it, and really understand the way that we're acting, and be careful and deliberate about that. And one of the ways of building up that self-awareness is to reflect ourselves, but also to get feedback from other people, and particularly the people that we're working with. So we shouldn't hopefully be afraid of learning from what other people think of us, and we should be open and curious, and open to change, to personal development and professional development. And really knowing ourselves gives us the opportunity to be a better social worker, so that, you know, we can use our whole self effectively. And also being really self-aware helps us to keep ourselves in one piece, so to spot pitfalls and things that might cause cracks, and help, you know, and undermine our ability to be helpful and to contain our own emotions and those of others. And it was also that self-awareness and that that way of sustaining ourselves is a really good example, a really good model for others.
Yeah, and talking of that, Jerry and I have got an exercise that we use a lot when we're teaching around the 7 learnable skills of resilience. There's 7 skills that we know you can work on to build your resilience. And I just want to go through them with you. And as I do, I want you just to think a little bit about which of those skills you're using, which ones you need to work on, and which ones you may not have thought about before. The first skill is emotional awareness and regulation. And this is the ability to identify what you're feeling and, when necessary, to be able to control your feelings. The second one is empathy. This is the ability to read and understand the emotions of others. The third is impulse control. And this ability to tolerate ambiguity so you don't rush into making decisions, and it helps you think before acting. 4, causal analysis, is about thinking comprehensively about problems you confront and being able to look at a problem from many perspectives and consider many factors. 5 is optimism, having an explanatory style that's realistic and facilitates problem solving. 6, self-efficacy. This is your confidence in your ability to solve problems, knowing your strengths and weaknesses, and relying on your strengths to cope. 7, which is my personal favourite, actually, which is reaching out. It's about being prepared to take risk, being willing to try new things, thinking of failure as part of life, and most importantly, asking for and accepting help.
And we could actually model that, in that we've just taken the risk of creating a podcast. If anyone out there can help us make it better, we would be very happy to accept help. But I'm just going to conclude by saying, bringing this back to the people that we work with, really. It's worth the struggle to act with integrity, because it enables us to release our potential, the potential that comes from our motivation, our values, from being resilient, and from being able to use our whole self. And that means that the people we work with, the children, the families and adults who require social work, will have a resourceful, empathetic, optimistic person alongside them on some of these difficult journeys. And we're going to finish up this podcast with a couple of reflective questions, as we will do every podcast that we record. The first one is about your motivation. So what motivates you to be a social worker, and when are the moments that you really thrive in your work? And the second one is, how do you maintain integrity in terms of trueness to yourself, soundness and completeness in the kind of busy environment that you might find yourself in?
Well, Jerry, I think that we should end on that note.
Yep.
So thank you very much. It's been an interesting first podcast, and we should go and listen to it now and see what we think about it.
Great. Thanks very much.